even with immovable things. And he says that whereas one who is paradukkha dukhi and parasukha sukhi is praised by all kinds of pious people. This is where we ended, right? So we'll start with the 10th verse. Aho dainyam aho kashtam parakyarshana bangurayhi yonapukur yannopakuryat aswarter martya swagyadi vigrahaihi. Martya, person or anyone who is bound to die. Now upakuryat, who does not assist others. Swagyati vigrahaihi, by his own body, by his relatives and by his wealth, which are shanabangurahi, which are anyway perishable, parakyahi, are fit to be eaten by jackals, aswartehi, and not meant for self-interest. Aho dainyam, aho kashtam, is in a miserable, difficult situation. So I don't want to be like that. So I want to give it up. You are suffering, take it, no problem. He criticizes a person who does not give. Parakyaihi means to be eaten by jackals. He should assist others by his wealth, relatives and body. Is there a purport?
Similar advice is given in Srimad Bhagavatam 10.22.35.
Pranayartha deya oina.
Etavachanma safalyam dehinamiha dehishu pranayartha deya vachashreya charanam sada. It is the duty of every living being to perform welfare activities for the benefit of others with his life, wealth, intelligence and words. This is the mission of life. One's own body and the bodies of his friends and relatives, as well as one's own riches and everything else one has, should be engaged for the benefit of others. This is the mission of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. As said in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi 9.41, Bharat Bhumi Dehela Manushya Janma Jara Janma Sathar Hari Parapapkara. One who has taken birth as a human being in the land of India, Bharat Varsha, should make his life successful and work for the benefit of all other people. The word upakuryat means para upakar, helping others. Of course, in human society there are many institutions to help others. But because philanthropists do not know how to help others, their propensity for philanthropy is ineffectual. They do not know the ultimate goal of life, shreya acharanam, which is to please the Supreme Lord. If all philanthropic and humanitarian activities were directed toward achieving the ultimate goal of life, to please the Supreme Personality of God, they would be all perfect.
Okay. Read that statement again.
If all philanthropic and humanitarian activities were directed toward achieving the ultimate goal of life, to please the Supreme Personality of God, they would be all perfect.
Yeah. Prabhupada is not against philanthropic or humanitarian activity. Prabhupada says it should be directed towards
Supreme Lord.
So in that way, you know, something like, you know, you have Bhaktivedanta Hospital. So what is the purpose? The kind of preaching that they do is phenomenal actually. When, you know, whoever has visited there, especially Prabhupada disciples, they are so astonished as to, you know, the kind of preaching that happens in the Bhaktivedanta Hospital only. Or through. So, but the main issue that people generally have is that we may present a notion to people that maybe we are also a philanthropic organization. So one should consciously try to not give that kind of an image. That was the concern. Otherwise, in one sense, like Prabhupada is not exactly against philanthropy per se. But philanthropy should be aimed towards connecting people to Krishna. So if that is there, then it is perfect. That's what, read that sentence again.
If philanthropic and humanitarian activities were directed toward achieving the ultimate goal of life to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead, they would all be perfect.
Yeah.
Humanitarian work without Krishna consciousness, without Krishna, is nothing. Krishna must be brought to the center of all our activities, otherwise no activity will have value.
Just like in one of the Maharajas giving lecture and Radhe Shyam Prabhu asked this question, this philanthropist. So Maharaj brought out the point that Prabhupada was never against philanthropists, but he was against philanthropists equating to the spiritualist. I mean, they feel that their philanthropy is as good as you are worshipping God. We are not doing something else. That he was very much against.
Yeah. Either philanthropy as a replacement for spirituality.
Our
teaching a humanitarian in one sense. Yeah. This is humanitarian work only.
When Krishna
is murdered, then and many people actually through humanitarian work you can connect many people to spirituality.
While introducing Maharaj detail about this food for life, well, thing.
Midday meal.
Yeah.
In Corona, we distributed so much food packets.
That was a very powerful preaching.
But also, it requires a very mature person to. Go in this direction as well as keep it Krishna conscious.
That is why, na? Can pause. Yeah, it needs.
And Radhishan Prabhu shared in one of the glorification of Maharaj. There he was mentioning about how Maharaj told about Yamuna Priya that the author is the Krishna.
Success,
no? Actually, when Radhisham Prabhu asked that Maharaj, actually, you have started there. Like, there are so many Varnashrama and the Vinayadar, Goseva, all the projects are there. How to understand that devotees, when they go for such things, they don't get affected. At time, Maharaj, to explain to Radhisham Prabhu, he said that, though I am not so good in the PPTs, but I am going to draw something. And then he drew one big circle. And then after that he said this is pure devotional service. And then he wrote small circles all around that circle, big circle. Half of it was outside, half of it was inside. So he drew. And then he said that all the small circles are fringe fields. So which have some part within pure devotional service and some part which is not pure devotional service. Like Goseva and philanthropy, all those things. And then he said that. So this is what devotees should learn. So we should do such those things which are within pure devotion service, and that rest of the material thing let them take care. So then Radhisham asked another vital question. So Maharaj, when devotees want to bring those people who are within, sometimes they may go out. Those who are within, they may also go out. So then Maharaj told. No, before this, one more time Maharaj had told. He said that if we are able to bring out such kind of collaboration, we will be able to make a much greater impact in the society. And then Radhisham Prabhu said, but our devotees also may go out. At that time Maharaj said, that's why we need Shravanam and Kirtanam very intact. If that is there, then they will be clear.
Let our devotees have to take
care.
Let our devotees have to take care. Take care of
very important.
I think in GV Brahmachari that this point was there, that devotees, if their goal is, they are strong and their goal is Krishna conscious and they are
blessings for the spiritual master.
Blessings for the Maharaj said.
ओके श्री बादरायणे रुवाच एवं कृतव्यवसितो दद्यन आदर्वणस्तनुम परे भगवती ब्रह्मणि आत्मानं सन्नयन जहौ ददीची द सन ऑफ अथर्वा दस रिजॉल्विंग ऑफरिंग हिमसेल्फ टू द लॉर्ड गेव अप हिज बॉडी गिवन अप परपोट
as indicated by the words Pare Bhagavati Brahmani Atmanam Sammayan. Dadichi placed himself as spirit soul at the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In this regard, one may refer to the incident of Dhritarashtra's leaving his body as described in first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Dhritarashtra analytically divided his gross material body into the five different elements of which it was made, earth, water, fire, air and ether, and distributed them to the different reservoirs of these elements. In other words, he merged these five elements into the original Mahat-tattva. By identifying his material conception of life, he gradually separated his spirit soul from the material connections and placed himself at the lotus feet of the personality of Godhead. The example given in this connection is that when an earthen pot is broken, the small portion of the sky within the pot is united with the large sky outside the pot. Mayavadi philosophers misunderstand this description of Srimad Bhagavatam. Therefore, Sri Ramanuja Swami in his book Vedanta Tattvasar has described that this merging of the soul means that after separating himself from the material body made of eight elements, earth, water, fire, ether, false ego, mind, intelligence, the individual soul engages himself in the devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead in his eternal form. Ishvara Paramakrishna Sachitananda Vigraha Anadi Radhir Govinda Sarvakaran Karanam. The material cause of the material elements absorbs the material body and the spiritual soul assumes its original position. As described by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Jivera Swarup Hai Krishnara Nitya Das. The constitutional position of the living entity is that he is the eternal servant of Krishna. When one overcomes the material body through cultivation of spiritual knowledge and devotional service, one can revive his own position and thus engage in the service of the Lord.
Vedanta Tattva Sar. Prabhupada is quoting from that. No, I mean, Prabhupada says that his commentary was Sri Bhashya, but he has subsequently summarized the teachings also in other books. Apparently, Vedanta Tattva Sara is one.
Prabhupada has gone through this.
I am not sure. Maybe someone of the acharyas would have quoted, and he would have. He is again referencing it. That is also possible. Nay, not Vedanta Deshika, because Vedanta Deshika's Bhagavatam commentary is not there. Veerraghavacharya is there. Maybe he must have probably referred to Veerraghavacharya's commentary also. Possible. In 6th canto, Prabhupada quotes from Veerraghavacharya's commentary. You remember?
6th
canto. 6th canto only.
Yes.
In 6th canto, Prabhupada does quote from Veerraghavacharya. Especially Ajamil's episode, he quotes from Veerraghavacharya. You remember?
Veerraghavacharya
is Sri Sampradaya. Okay. यताकाशासु मनो बुद्धिस् तत्वदृग्द्वस्तबन्धनः आस्तितः परमं योगं न देहं बुभुदे गतम्. Controlling his senses, life, air, mind and intelligence and destroying all bondage, situated in samadhi, Dadichi, the seer of truth, was not aware that he had left his body.
He told that so much pain comes when one leaves his body.
Generally, when someone gives up his body, generic statement, he was a self-realized person.
Yeah,
he was not attached only. Yogam means samadhi, gatam means the body fell away from the soul. Okay, is there a purport?
The Lord says in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 8, text 5, अंतकाले च मामेव स्मरणं Whoever, at the time of death, quits his body remembering me alone, at once attains my nature. Of this there is no doubt. Of course, one must practice before one is overcome by death. But the perfect yogi, namely the devotee, dies in trance, thinking of Krishna. He does not feel his material body being separated from his soul. The soul is immediately transferred to the spiritual world. tattva deham punarjanma naiti mamiti. The soul does not enter the womb of a material mother again, but is transferred back home, back to Godhead. This yoga, bhakti yoga, is the highest yoga system. As explained by the Lord Himself in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 6, verse 47, Yoginam api sarvesham nalvatinantara mana
shuddhavan
romam samishtanantaha. Of all yogis, he who always abides in me with great faith, worshipping me in transcendental loving service, is most intimately united with me in yoga and is the highest of all. The bhakti yogi always thinks of Krishna, and therefore at the time of death he can very easily transfer himself to Krishna Loka without even perceiving the pains of death.
So who, a practitioner of bhakti yoga, will he not experience pains of death?
No.
What do you think?
Pain may be there, but he doesn't suffer.
At the time of death or when?
At the time of death.
He is not perfect in like
so what does Prabhupada say? Read that last line.
He is saying, the bhakti yogi always thinks of Krishna, and therefore at the time of death he can very easily transfer himself to Krishna Loka without even perceiving the pains of death.
That bhakti yogi who is ready to go to Krishna Loka is at the stage of prema. He will not perceive the pains of death. Because a sadhaka will take birth again, na?
Sadhaka will experience pain.
A sadhaka will take birth again. Prabhupada is quoting tattva deham punarjanma naiti. So, he will not. He will come back. Because he has to perfect, na? He has to achieve the stage of prema. And what is the symptom of one who has reached that stage of janma karma cha me divyam evam yoveti tattvatah? Vitaraga bhaya krodha manmayama mupashrita bahavo jnana tapasa puta mad bhavam agata. So mad bhavam agata, one should have attained that stage, and the symptom of that is the absence of the influence of the three modes. Vitaraga bhaya krodha. So no attachment, no fear, no anger. Manmaya, one who is completely absorbed in Krishna. Maam Upashrita, having taken full shelter of Krishna. So, such a person actually is, at the time of death, he will not feel the pains of death. A sadhaka may still feel, possible. If he has not perfected, it is possible. He may, because he will have to come back. So he may feel, but he may feel the pains of death, but his rebirth is not due to karma. A materialist will also feel the pain of death. He will take birth according to the law of karma. A devotee may also, a sadhaka may feel the pain of death, and he may take rebirth also, but not due to law of karma. Krishna will orchestrate that, where in some favorable position he can take birth like that. Last line applies to
law.
Last thought. Yam yam vapi. Last. Okay.
Last.
Love, last thought.
This for sadhaka we need to get, in case like he has practiced, but suppose at the end he might not have proper
desires. Yeah, quite possible. He need not necessarily remember Krishna. That is possible. But one who is at the stage of prema, he will remember Krishna. That is spontaneous, natural for him. But a sadhaka will take birth again, na?
Like you are saying, Krishna will orchestrate. So.
Krishna will orchestrate his rebirth in a favorable family in the material world only. Yeah. Yeah. To perfect his life, right? He has to perfect his life.
Even for a perfect devotee, he has to one time take in.
That is better than spiritual world actually. Yeah, I mean Bhauma Vrindavan is glorified more than the actual Vrindavan actually.
Roji, this one side question, but like we find that when one has almost perfected his life, he will take birth in a devotee family. But we find like many of the devotee children, they don't become devotees.
Yeah, they don't become devotees.
Then they again go to Puandaksha karma because they are.
So that does not mean every person who is born as a devotee's child is actually
a previous life
devotee. That is not mentioned. Na. That
depends upon father and mother's consciousness.
Yeah, that depends on father and mother's consciousness also. Yeah, at the time of conception also, that is also there. So, and also, it is not that while they take birth, they may be waiting for a particular Uddipan, which may happen at some other time also. At that time they will take up, and that Uddipan, that orchestration by Krishna need not come through parents only. That orchestration is done by Krishna, it need not necessarily come only through parents. Like some of you may be past life practitioners actually. It's quite possible. The orchestration but may not have come through parents. The orchestration may come through at your college. That is also possible. Like Hari Bhakti Prabhu. Can you share the story? That you were practicing and then and then he started chanting. That's all.
Through 1 year's program, he directly came for last program.
Culmination.
No, my question was Prabhuji, like now devotee, whether somebody is getting them, means in a devotee family, that means he has done a lot, that is why he is getting such kind of family, but still
not necessarily. It is not like that. Aap ulta bol rahe hain. If Krishna wants to facilitate through parents, he will ensure that they take birth in a devotee family. That does not mean every child born in a devotee family is a past life devotee. Like Prabhupada's children also, many, most did not take up to bhakti. That is there.
Navata also gives many examples that father is devotee, but
Anandan
to ask this question to Maharaj about these children's. So then Maharaj, in concluding, said it's not parents' mistake only that they are not devotees. In concluding, this was because there is free will, Krishna has given it that way.
Yeah. That is there, and it's not that they associate only with. See, many times parents. See, it's a very complex thing. We cannot zoom it down. When multiple parameters are involved, you cannot attribute cause to one. It's these are like things. These things are very complex. And how do you identify whether the child is not a devotee? Like I I shared the example of that agnostic.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, and the parents are saying, yeah, he is agnostic, he is not chanting and all. And I sat and discussed with him for a long time. Then he said, like his brother chants 16 rounds. So, father, mother, two brothers, they were sitting and we were talking for a long time. And finally, about various things. So finally, the younger brother who was chanting, so he asked, Prabhuji, his main question, he has one very main question, why should we chant? Why should he chant? I told, I never asked you to chant. Then everyone was like, hey, Prabhuji, kya bol rahe Prabhuji? Yeah. And I never asked you to chant, I told. So if so you don't have to, if you feel like you can chant, otherwise no need. And then next time he only came and asked, Prabhuji, I have a desire to systematically study your shastras. So the agnostic. So he said, and then in private he shared with me, Prabhuji, you know, I don't feel very much like chanting. I said, okay. But he's a very good cook. He told, I really like cooking and serving devotees. I said, very nice. Because that is when I feel really very devotional. You know, because, you know, right from conceiving the menu to purchasing the ingredients and collecting the ingredients and making, offering, everything, you know, I constantly keep praying to Radharani, he says. Right from the time, and I keep praying until the time the devotees taste, you know. And he says that for me, cooking is the most devotionally stimulating experience. So the agnostic is speaking, I guess. So I said, yeah, yeah, no problem, do it. So we may say that, you know, we may have some very stereotypical understanding of, oh, devotee is not the devotee's son is not a devotee like that. I mean, at what stage, how will you determine? You scratch their surface, it is there actually, many times. Oh, that kind of, some kind of teenage rebellion always comes out, you know. Like, I will not listen kind of. And sometimes parents also do the mistake of
forcing
and the kind of psychological intimidation, peer pressure, comparison and all that, and you know, they want to do, but instead of fanning the voluntary spirit, many times we don't do that actually. We actually sort of cover the or extinguish the voluntary spirit. Ultimately, bhakti is voluntary, na? So that has to be fanned. And when they get that experience somewhere, na, they feel like really, they blossom into very nice devotees actually. So that one statement I made, when did I ask you to chant? That had such a, you know, that had an effect in him. Because he didn't want to do anything being told by others. So, and then he himself came and told. Then I asked, okay, so what is your commitment? What can you commit? And he said, 1 hour every day, bro, for systematically studying shastras. I said, okay. So then I suggested some books and some material I shared with him. And I said, maybe once a week we could have 1 hour, you know, you can call, and if you have any questions, discussions, we can discuss like that. Of course, he has not called me yet. But still, the desire was genuine, I could see. So like that. So you cannot attribute it to, it's a very superficial evaluation actually. So it's all has to be evaluated case to case. There could be many reasons actually. Many times devotees, they take preaching to outsiders very seriously, and children are many times neglected also. And then it becomes very, one counselor has personally shared with me, very senior, one of the senior most counselors, that I made that mistake, Prabhuji. So I have literally lost my first daughter. Look, she has no trust in us. And so gradually we realized it. And by the time we realized it, we had already significantly done it to our second daughter also. The counselors. So child is in one sense like neglected, and family needs its own private time, private space. But if everything becomes public, good. But how can you expect the child to understand it? The child needs the private time of his or her own parent. But if everything is public, then the child, it affects the child. Like that, that also happens.
Like it may be also possible that, or we see it happens that devotees practicing from that state take birth in many times in non-devotees
families also. Yeah, that is also possible.
Like we see some Prabhupada disciples.
Yeah, and Yamuna Mataji, in the book of Yamuna Mataji, Dintarani Mataji mentions once one of the disciples of, because Yamuna Mataji's father was a butcher. Was a butcher, literally. That was his profession. And once one of the Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur's disciple asked Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur, how is it that sometimes great devotees take birth in absolutely strange families? How does that indicate like their, Krishna is orchestrating their birth and all that? He says, this is because Krishna wants to prove that bhakti does not depend on any material circumstance. Mm-hmm. Like that, Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur says, he wants to prove it. That is why Krishna may do that. So these are not hard and fast rules actually. Krishna's facilitation is hard and fast. How he will facilitate is not hard and fast. It may be through parents. It's not necessary also. If you say it is through parents, then none of Prabhupada's disciples' story you can explain actually. Okay. So 12th purport is over. Or is there no purport for 12th?
The 12th purport is over.
Over. Okay. So now, Dadichi has given up his body. Atendro vajramudyamya nirmitam vishvakarmana munehe shakti virutsikto bhagavat tejasanvitaha vrito devaganair sarvair gajendro pari ashobata stuyamano muniganais trailokyam harshayan iva. Thereafter, Indraha Vajram Udyamya Vishwakarmana Nirmitam. Thereafter, Indra took up the thunderbolt manufactured by Vishwakarma. Munehe Shaktibir Utsiktaha, charged with the power of Dadichi. Bhagavat Tejasan Vitaha, and endowed with the power of the Lord. Gajendra Upari, and sitting on top of Airavat. Vrito Devaganaihi. Survived and surrounded by all the devatas. Stuyamano Muniganaihi. And while the sages were offering him praise, Ashobata, he appeared glorious. Trailokyam Harshayaniva, giving delight to the three worlds. He was as if like he has now, the symptoms of victory were already seen. Is there a purport? Vritram Abhyadravat Shatrum Asuranika Yutapaihi Paryastamojasa Rajan Krutro Rudra Ivantakam. O king, as Rudra had formerly attacked Yamaraj. Some story, anyone knows? Indra angrily and with great force attacked Vritrasur, who was surrounded by the leaders of the demoniac army. Okay. Paryastam means surrounded by. Shiva is capable of killing Yamaraj. Similarly, Indra was capable of killing Vritrasur. That is the connection. Or it can mean, just as a lion attacks another lion, so Indra attacked Vritrasur. They fought ferociously. Is there a purport?
Yeah. No.
No purport.
Right, this only indicates their material capabilities. This only indicates their material capabilities.
Yeah.
Only material.
Yeah. Tatasuranam asurair rana paramadarunah treta muke narmadayam abhavat pratame yuge. Tataha, thereafter, at the beginning of the Treta Yuga, in the first Yuga cycle of Vaivasvata Manvantara, so exact time and everything is mentioned. So, current Manvantara only, in the first Yuga cycle, currently 28th Yuga cycle is going on. Yeah, first day. 51st year, first day. And 28th Yuga cycle is going on. No. 7th Manu, 28th Yuga cycle.
Yeah, 7th Manu.
7th Manu and 28th Yuga cycle. Yeah. So, thereafter, the beginning of the Treta Yuga.
28th Yuga cycle. That Manu, after 71,
28th. 28th, yeah. But, is current. But, 7th Manu, first Yuga cycle is when this happened, which means 27 Yuga cycles before.
That time, Indra changes every. So Indra is same as
of. Same Indra. Vaivasvata Manu Indra only. Every Manvantara only is.
Every Manvantara.
So this is same Indra. Thereafter, at the beginning of Treta Yuga, in the first Yuga cycle of Vaivasvata Manvantara, a fierce battle took place between the Devatas and the demons on the bank of the Narmada River. Maybe celestial also, yeah. The battle took place at the beginning of the Treta Yuga in the first cycle of four Yugas of Vaivasvata Manvantara. Is there a purport? Satyamurthy Prabhu.
I think the 87th.
Huh? Yeah, okay. Anyone read?
Here in the Narmada does not mean the Narmada River in India. The five sacred rivers in India, Ganga, Yamuna, Narmada, Kaveri, and Krishna, are all celestial. Like the Ganges River, the Narmada River also flows in higher planetary systems. The battle between the demigods and the demons took place in higher planets. The words Prathame Yuge mean in the beginning of the first millennium. That is to say, in the beginning of the Vaivasvata Manvantara. In one day of Brahma, there are 14 Manus who each live for 71 millenniums. The four Yugas, Satya, Treta, Dwapar and Kali, constitute one millennium. We are presently in the Manvantara of Vaivasvata Manu, who is mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita. Imam Vivasate Yogam Bhuttavan Maugyam Yavasvan Manade Praha. We are now in the 28th millennium of Vaivasvata Manu, but this fight took place in the beginning of Vaivasvata Manu's first millennium. One can historically calculate how long ago the battle took place, since each millennium consists 43 lakh years, and we are now in the 28th millennium. So, some.
Okay. 120 billion 400 million.
Okay, a long time.
120.4 million.
Million 400,000.
Years have passed since battle took place on the bank of bigger
level. Okay. Yeah, beyond a few zeros, I also. Rudrair Vasubhiraditair Ashvibhyam Pitruvaknibhi Marudbir Rububir Sadhyair Vishvadevair Marudpatim Drishtva Vajradaram Shakram Rochamanam Swayashriya Namrishyan Asura Rajan Mrde Vritrapurasaraha. O King, when all the demons headed by Vritrasur came onto the battlefield, they saw Indra shining with his effulgence, carrying the thunderbolt and surrounded by the Rudras, Vasus, Adityas, Ashwini Kumaras, Pitrus, Vahnis, Maruts, Ribus, Satyas and Vishwadevas. They could not tolerate this. Is there a purpose?
No purpose.
No,
that's Rudras are like...
Yeah.
Rudras are even the spirit of Indra
Prajna? No. Why?
Only Lord
Shiva is the spirit.
So here Rudras, I don't think refers to the 11 Rudras. This must be some other category. Wow, who they are exactly, I don't know. Is there a purport? No purport.
Demigods, those are being pious activities, they are supposed to go to heaven. But the other cities, now demons are ruling.
How come they are in the heavens and doing?
Those are doing pious activities, they are like appointed there and
supposed to do. That is why when they take over, Krishna sort of takes it away and gives it back to the demigods. Namuchishambaro narva dvimurda rishabho suraha hayagreva shankushira Viprachittir ayomukaha Puloma vrishaparvacha Prahetir hetirutkalaha Daiteyadana vayaksha Raksham sicha sahasrashaha Sumali mali pramukaha Kartasvara parichadaha Pratishityendra senagram Mrityorapi durasadam Abhyardayanna sambhrantaha Simmanadena nurdurmadaha Gadabhi parighair banair Prasa mudgara tomaraihi.
The second line, last one, I think.
Second line?
Last one.
Tomaraihi. What?
Ambara.
What?
Vimurdha rishabho asuraha. Second line.
First rishabho asuraha. Asuraha.
Here it is ambara.
Okay, yeah. Some of the words are slightly different. Very rarely though, but alternative presentations are also there. That must be probably from Jiva Goswami, I don't know. But that is possible. Thousands of ferocious, fearless daityas, danavas, yakshas, rakshasas such as Namuchi, Shambara, Anarva, Vimurda, Rishabhas, Asura, Hayagriva, Shankushira, Viprachitti, Ayomukha, Puloma, Vrishaparva, Praheti, Heti and Utkala, headed by Sumali and Mali, clad in gold, roaring like lions, resisted the armies of King Indra, which even death personified could not easily overcome. They attacked with clubs, bludgeons, arrows, barbed darts, mallets and lances. Purport? Is there? No. Shulair Parashvadair Kadgaihi Shatagnibir Bushundibihi Sarvatova Kiran Shastrair Astraischa Vibudar Shabhan. Armed with lances, tridents, axes, swords, Shataknis and Bushundis, the demons scattered the chiefs of the Devatas. Shatagni is a weapon, four hastas in length with iron spikes, and Bushundi, not Bhasundi, is a weapon with prominently arranged iron spikes. purport?
Direct
27, okay. Nate drishyanta sanchannaha sharajalai samantataha punka punka patitair jyotim shiva nabhoganehi. As the stars cannot be seen when covered by dense clouds, the devatas being completely covered by networks of arrows falling upon them one after another could not be seen. Punka is a feather end of the arrow. The arrows fell so that one arrowhead followed exactly next to the feathered end of the previous arrow. Though the arrows covered the devatas like clouds covering the stars, the arrows could not touch the devatas, just as clouds do not touch the stars. So, clouds are way far away from stars. Actually, they are very, very close to us compared to
stars.
Nate shastrastra varshoga yase dusura sainikan chinna siddhapate devair laguhastair sahasrada. The showers of various weapons and arrows released to kill the soldiers of the devatas did not reach them, because the devatas, acting quickly, cut the weapons into thousands of pieces in the sky. Atakshinastra shastrauga girishringa drumopalaihi abhyavarshan surabalam chichiddustams chapurvavat. As their weapons decreased, the demons began showering mountain peaks, trees and stones upon the devatas' soldiers, but the devatas cut them to pieces in the sky as before. Tanakshatan swastimato nishamya shastrastra pugair atavritra nataha drumair drishadbir vivida drishringair avikshatam statra sur indra sainikan. When the soldiers of Ritrasur saw that the soldiers of King Indra were quite well, uninjured at all by the volleys of weapons, not harmed by trees, stones and mountain peaks, the demons became afraid. Purport. Oh, 28 onwards. Sarve prayasa bhavan vimogaha krita krita deva ganeshu daityaihi krishnanukuleshu yata mahatsu kshudrair prayukta ushati rukshavachah. Just as rough words pronounced by low persons are futile against saintly persons, all the efforts of the demons against the devatas under the protection of Krishna were futile. Ushati should be ushatyaha, harsh speech expressing misfortune, such as saying again and again to the Vaishnavas, you should die immediately. But nothing will happen, you know. If Ruksha means abusive speech, such as, oh, what a low person you are, like that. Purport.
There is a Bengali saying that if a vulture curses a cow, it dies. The curse will not be effective. Similarly, accusations made by demonic persons against devotees of Krishna cannot have any effect. The demigods are devotees of Lord Krishna, and therefore the curses of demons were futile.
Their address is Krishna Kule. Yeah, yeah. Okay, Vritrasur chastises the fleeing asuras. I think this is the last section.
Okay. Even the Itajam Chakalabam, Indrari Vyakiram Lokam. Why so much Krishna gives so much value to
Indra? Is just a post. Indra is a post.
So, like,
and because he is the representatives, he is the representative of Krishna's own appointed administrator, universal administrator. That's why Indrari.
Okay, means it's not like in our case we are really indebted to the post holders because we are struggling with management. Like those who take up management post position. Mm. Look, someone becomes my headache is taking. Like something like that. We become. But when it comes to Krishna, it's just an arrangement to facilitate their desires. So
that is just one of the reasons. It's not just that.
It's not. But why so much Krishna Kulayu and all that?
Because they are devotees. Because this is a comparison between, because the two parties involved, only one is Krishna Kula.
Another
is demon. Na. Other demon means atheistic. In that sense. Otherwise, he is not, there are pure devotees and devatas, and it is not like he is addressing devatas or Krishna Kula. Like that. ते स्वप्रयासं विततं निरीक्ष्य हराव भक्ता हतयुद्ध दर्पाः पलायनायाजि मुखे विसृज्य पतिं मनस्ते ददुरात्तसाराः. द डीमन्स, सिंस दे वर नॉट डिवोटीज ऑफ लॉर्ड हराव अभक्ता, दैट इज वाई कृष्णकुलेर प्रीवियस वर्स स्वप्रयासं विततम् saw that their endeavors were fruitless. Hata yuddha darpah, they lost their pride in fighting. Atta sarah, their prowess dissipated. Visrijyapatim, they left Vritrasur. Aji mukhe, even in the very beginning of the fight, palayanaya manah te daduhu, they decided, chalo bhag jayenge, let's run. Is there a purport? 32. Okay. Vritro suram stan anugan manasvi pradhavata preksha babasha etat palayitam preksha balam chabagnam bayena tivrena vihasya viryaha viraha. Seeing the strength of his army broken and seeing the demons and their followers fleeing out of intense fear, intelligent, brave Vritra, smiling, then spoke these words.
I was hearing that this is a symptom of some doership. Like if I am doing something and it's not happening, so one loses
hatash.
Something.
Yeah, correct. If the fruit is taken away, or if you are not successful, then you lose taste in doing it.
Krishna says in Gita.
Karmanyeva adhikaraste ma phaleshu kadachana. Ma karma phaleyetur var ma te sangostu akarmani. So just because I have taken away your fruit does not mean you give up or you lose interest in performing that activity only. Like that. कालोपपन्नाम रुचिराम मनस्विनाम जगादवाचम पुरुष प्रवीर हे विप्रचित्ते नमुचे पुलोमन मयार्न वंशम बरमेश्रुनद्वम. वृत्रासुर, द हीरो अमंग हीरोज, स्पोक प्लीजिंग वाइस वर्ड्स सूटेबल टू द टाइम. ओ विप्रचित्ति, ओ नमुची, ओ पुलोमा, ओ मया, ओ अनर्वा एंड शंबरा, प्लीज हियर मी. जातस्य मृत्युर् ध्रुव एव सर्वतः प्रतिक्रिया यस्य नचेह क्लुप्ता लोको यशश्चा ततो यदि ह्यमं को नाम मृत्युं न वृणीत युक्तम्. जातस्य ध्रुव मृत्युर् ध्रुवं जन्म मृतस्य च. फॉर दोस हु हैव टेकन बर्थ, डेथ फॉर विच नो रेमेडी हैज बीन क्रिएटेड इन दिस वर्ल्ड इज सर्टन. इफ वन वेर टू अटेन स्वर्ग एंड फेम, who would not accept such a death? Yashascha atat tato hyamum. Ko nama mrityum na vrinita. Who would not accept such a death? Hato va prapsase swargam, jitva va bokshase mahim. If there will be fame and swarga after that, it is this death is proper. This death is proper. Like that. Purport.
If by dying one can be elevated to the higher planetary systems and be ever famous after his death, who is so foolish that he will refuse such a glorious death? Similar advice was also given by Krishna to Arjuna. My dear Arjuna, the Lord said, do not desist from fighting. If you gain victory in fighting, you will enjoy a kingdom. And even if you die, you will be elevated to the heavenly planets. Everyone should be ready to die while performing glorious deeds. A glorious person is not meant to meet death like cats and dogs. Mm.
Sometimes a devotee, some previous discussion also, suppose that the devotee may, the sadhaka may die. Now, is it that he may take birth in earthly planet only or he may take birth anywhere in the earth? Actually, that one incident also, one of the devotee who was a brahmachari in London, and he took birth as one of the disciple of the Mahamachari Samadhar.
Okay, so?
No, that means, now for ISKCON devotees, suppose if...
ISKCON devotees.
Some arrangement that they will take birth in ISKCON, yeah.
Or some
arrangement
will go
there.
You can ask Hari Bhakti Prabhu, maybe he will know that.
What happened to?
I don't know. Will devotees take birth only in earthly planets or could they take birth in heavenly planets also after death?
70%
of my
Prabhupada.
80%,
no? Increase,
yeah. Inflation, inflation.
Lockdown.
I don't know. Is there anyone, you have heard anything like that?
Devotees after
that, is it that they can take birth only in earthly planets? I don't know. Their devotional service will be facilitated. That much I can, that is mentioned, whether they will take birth in earthly planets only or not, I don't know.
Heavenly planets,
how will they? They can. They can. It's not a very favorable situation, but they can.
Prabhupada had said about Jayanand Prabhu that he must have gone to heaven if he has not perfected, otherwise he would have gone back to spiritual world. He said like that.
Yeah, he did say.
Heaven, he did say.
Yeah.
And we have the disciple of Bhaktiyaru Maharaj, that Mataji, who was previously Brahmachari. So she took birth on earth only.
Yeah, I mean, you cannot generalize, I don't know.
Maybe once I heard from you only, you told that if the Shraddha is pure, then Krishna will surely facilitate his practice of devotional service.
Nah, yeah. See, not everyone who goes to Swarga goes because of... Nah, it's not that devotional service is not practicable in the spirit, in Swarga. So Krishna may facilitate his practice of devotional service in Swarga also. I am just theoretical possibility I am discussing. So that's what I think. So is it that they will take birth only as human beings on the earthly planet? Maybe sounds likely, but I don't know for sure. That is what I can tell.
Other places we read that if they are jnanis or yogis, they go to Swarga, they enjoy for whatever time they want and then go to the next destination. For devotees, it won't happen like that.
Right? Yeah, that is true. See, why do you see Swarga only as a place where one can expend one's yeah, so it could be a place where one can practice. Otherwise, how can pure devotional service be etsyat sarvatra sarvada? Then it would be highly theoretical if there are no pure devotees in any other place.
For
the,
anything,
but bhakti, the point is the bhakti is practicable anywhere. So it is practicable anywhere, but all devotees are there in earth only. So he says, okay, so it is practicable there, but no one is there. Every practicable person is in earth only. It cannot be like that also, no? So I don't know. See, again and again you are probing from different directions, but the point is that really, I think most people would probably definitely take birth in human form in Bharat Varsha, because that is most conducive for practicing bhakti. But is it that no one can, who has a pure Shraddha, can take birth anywhere else other than human birth in Bharat Varsha? That I am not very sure. If I get some answer, I will let you know. It depends. What is Janme Janme Prabhu say?
That's what is your question.
That's what I'm saying.
Because we hear, you know, during Bhaktivedanta Maharaj, he says, you know, Tamah Krishna Maharaj is calling me, you know, to serve Prabhupada in another planet. You hear such things, so much.
Yeah, that is quite possible, maybe.
But I heard one point from Bhaktivedanta Maharaj. He has given three lectures in the Guru Tattva. So there is a perfected devotee, I don't know what mention. Example, he is saying that perfected devotee may be both. But for the Sadhaka, he mentions that it's not the same spiritual master who will come and take care, but it's the Guru Tattva. He said it is not impersonal thing, something, but it is the one who is representative of Balram. He will come and take care of that disciple. It's not that he is only there.
Okay.
But for perfected devotees, I don't know.
Yeah, for sadhakas, that's what Bhakti Rasamrita Maharaj. You heard or not?
Yes, sir.
You can hear three series here.
Yeah, three lecture series he has given on Guru Tattva. Okay. Dvau sammatav iha mrityu durapau यद् ब्रह्म संधारण याजितासुः कलेवरं योगरतो विजह्यात् यदग्रणीर्वीरशये निवृत्तः. There are two approved ways to die, and both are very rare. One is to give up the body by engaging in yoga with control of the life airs, concentrating on Brahman. The other way is to die on the battlefield leading the army and never show one's back. Demons. Otherwise, if he had spoken to devotees, he would say concentrating on the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord.
Prabhupada writes in the translation, one is to die after performing mystic yoga, especially bhakti yoga.
Both options. Yeah. But he takes the third option of meditating on the lotus feet of Krishna. Veerashaya means on the battlefield. Anivrittaha means facing the enemy. Is there a purport? Okay. We still have 15 minutes. We will start the 11th chapter.
So So what Dadichi Muni, he death body was first way of living in yoga with control of life.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He was
concentrated
on Brahman,
Dadichi was a pure devotee. I don't know. Listen, maybe not, I don't know. Dhritarashtra
was pure devotee.
Devotee, yeah.
His body is...
Which body?
His demonic body is not made up of... Because he took 1 year to cut.
1,000 years, huh?
One demigod year. Oh, okay, maybe that is also possible. Yeah, it must be transcendental body only.
Because he's cutting
Vajra.
Transcendental body, how can it be cut then?
Vritrasura chastises the demigods. Shri Shuka Uvacha Tayevam Shamsato Dharmam Vachapatyur Achetasaha Naiva Grananta Sambranta Palayana Parandrapa. O king, when Vritrasura, the commander of the demons, advised his followers in the principles of religion, the frightened and disturbed demons intent upon fleeing the battlefield could not accept his words. In the 11th chapter, the words of Vritrasura during the battle reveal his bravery and to some extent his prema. Is there a purport? Eventually we will see. Vishiryamanam pritanam asurim asurarshabah kalanukulaistritashaihi kalyamanam anatavat drishtvatapat sankruddha indra shatrur amarshitah tan nivarayau jasarajan nirbatsyedam uvachah. O king, seeing his shelterless soldiers shattered and pursued by the devatas who were favored by time, Vritrasura, the enemy of Indra, the best of the demons, angry and intolerant, blocked the devatas and spoke to them as follows. He could have as well crushed them, but he just stood and he was willing to speak to them. The demon soldiers acted as if without a master. Tan refers to the devatas. Is there a purport? Kimva uccharita matur dhavat bibhrishtato hataihi nahi betavata shlagyo nasvargya shuram shuramaninam. O devatas, like mother's stool, what fame or dharma is there in killing, fleeing demons from the back? Killing a person who is afraid is not glorious and does not bring swarga to those who think themselves valorous. What are you doing? Shuramaninam, na swargyah, nahi shlagyah, is not glorious and does not bring swarga. Anadya Jushtam Aswargyam.
Demigods are attacking the demons now.
Yeah.
Because Tilna was only told that they attacked the demons.
They attacked and nothing happened to them, and they very easily nullified the all weapons. Then they got really scared. What's this? So they lost all their
confidence.
They started running back. And then he said, don't run, don't run. And then he looked at, and while they were running, they were shooting from behind.
Demigods.
So demigods. And then he said, what are you doing?
It's
chastising the demigods.
Where can the demigods are attacking when they are running away?
That is what he is indicating, na? There is no what fame or dharma is there in killing, fleeing demons from the back. If they were not doing, why would he?
Directly there was no verse.
No. Uccharitaha matuhu means, oh devatas, like mother's stool. Just like putra mutra. Like that. There is no glory or dharma in killing demons from the back. Some versions have the instrumental case uccharitaihi. It then describes the demons. Killing people who are afraid is not glorious. There is no dharma or fame for the killer or the killed. He criticizes both parties. Purport?
Fourth verse. Prabhupada writes in a translation, demigods, the demoniac soldiers have taken birth uselessly. Indeed, they have come from the bodies of their mothers exactly like stool. Prabhupada calls the
Demons. Yeah, Krishna Jagatakur indicates it in the purport.
Vritrasa rebuked both the demigods and the demoniac soldiers because the demons were running in fear of their lives and the demigods were killing them from behind. The actions of both were abominable. When a fight takes place, the opposing parties must be prepared to fight like heroes. A hero never runs from the field of battle. He always fights face to face, determined to gain victory or lay down his life in the fight. That is heroic. Killing an enemy from behind is also inglorious. When an enemy turns his back and runs in fear of his life, he should not be killed. This is the etiquette of military science. Vritrasur insulted the demoniac soldiers by comparing them to the stool of their mothers. Both stool and a cowardly son come from the abdomen of the mother. And Vritrasur said that there is no difference between them. A similar comparison was given by Tulsidas, who commented that sun and urine both come from the same channel. In other words, semen and urine both come from the genitals, but semen produces a child, whereas urine produces nothing. Therefore, if a child is neither a hero nor a devotee, he is not a son, but urine. Similarly, Chanakya Pandit also says, Ko artha putrena jatena yona vidvana dharmika kanena chakshusha kimba chakshu pidaiva kevalam. What is the use of a son who is neither glorious nor devoted to the Lord? Such a son is like a blind eye, which simply gives pain but cannot help to see.
Yadiva pradane shraddha saram vakshullaka hridi akretishtata matramme nachet gramyasuke spraha. O shullaka, O insignificant devatas, as in soham nanam shullasukaya dukkam, like that. Shullaka, O insignificant devatas, yadi vaha pradane shraddha, if you truly have faith in your heroism, saramva hridi, if you have patience in the cores of your hearts, nached gramya suke spruha, and if you do not desire any more sense gratification, since I will kill you, agre tishtata matram me, just stand before me for a moment. Ruko ek second aur main dikhata hu aapko. Pradane means in battle, saram means determination. Oh, insignificant ones, shullakaha. Is that purport?
Rebuking the demigods, Vritrasura challenged, Oh demigods, if you are actually heroes, stand before me now and try to show your prowess. If you do not wish to fight, if you are afraid of losing your lives, I shall not kill you. For unlike you, I am not so evil-minded as to kill persons who are neither heroic nor willing to fight. If you have faith in your heroism, please stand before me.
Okay. So now, Vritrasura is directly going to fight with Indra. Okay. We have 5 minutes, we'll complete this section. And then tomorrow, Vritrasura will chastise Indra. And then he will instruct Indra. Okay? And then he will offer exemplary prayers. So this we will discuss tomorrow. But now we will fight. We will see. This is very especially when the talk starts, na, it's very exciting talk actually between evam suraganan kruddo bishayan vapusha ripun vyanadat sumaha prano yena loka vichetasah. You sent the address. Powerful Vritrasur, angry and terrifying the devatas with his body, roared with a resounding voice which made all living entities faint. Purport?
No purport.
Full section, no purport. Tena devagana sarve vritra vispota nena vai nivetur murchita bhomau yataiva shanina hataha. And when the devatas heard the sound of Vritrasur striking his thigh with his hand, they fainted and fell to the ground as if struck by the thunderbolts.
Very nice, Gravya.
Mamarda padyam surasainyamaturam nimilitaksham ranaranga durmadah gam kampayanudyatashula ojasa nalamvanam yutapatiryatodmada. As the devatas closed their eyes in fear, Vritrasur, arrogant on the battlefield, taking up his trident and making the earth tremble with his great strength, trampled the devatas beneath his feet on the battlefield just as an enraged elephant tramples a forest of reeds. The devatas closed their eyes in fear. Nalam means forest of reeds. Yutapatihi is an elephant.
Praji, in devatas, when they die in battlefield, what
they will
know? I don't know.
Yeah. They drink, yeah, na?
So
that too. So again they are revived back, I guess?
I don't know.
They don't die.
Probably. Yeah. Vilokyatam vajradarotyamarshitah swashatrave vidravate mahagadam chikshepatama patitim sudussaham jagraha vamena karena lilaya. Seeing Vritrasur's disposition, Indra became indignant and threw a great club difficult to counteract, which flew towards Vritrasur as he approached. However, Vritrasur easily caught it with his left hand. Aisa. Like that, that's how it is given, right?
Yeah, the club is so small.
Sa Indra Shatru Kupito Prashantaya Mahendra Vaham Gadayoru Vikramaha Jagana Kumbastala Unnadan Mrade Tatkarma Sarve Sampojayan Rupa. O King, powerful Vritrasur, the enemy of King Indra, roaring loudly on the battlefield, angrily struck the head of Indra's elephant with that club. For this heroic deed, the soldiers on both sides glorified him. Airavato vritragada vimrishto vighurnito drik kulishahato yata apasarad binnamukas sahindro munchan asriksapta danur brishartah. Struck with the club by Vritrasur, the elephant Airavat, like a mountain struck by a thunderbolt, felt great pain and spat blood from his broken mouth. He was pushed back 14 yards along with Indra. Nasannavahaya vishanna chetase prayungta bhuyah sagadam mahatma indro mritasyandikara bimarsha vidavyatakshata vahovataste. Seeing that the great soul Vritrasur refrained from again aiming the club at despondent Indra with his despondent carrier. From again aiming the club at despondent Indra with his despondent career. So he saw that he was unstable, so it was not according to the rules, so he refrained from attacking him. Taking this opportunity, Indra stood there and touched the elephant with his nectar producing hand to relieve the animal of its pain and its injuries. So this is what is that? Who else did Indra feed like that? Marisha was fed by Soma. Indra also feeds someone like that. So therefore they are called something like that. I'm trying to recollect. Someone
he fed milk through his thumb to the child.
Correct. You are right.
I think in Amshuman family.
Yeah. In that family only it comes.
I think Rama.
Mandata. So he says, Mam Data, I will be his Data. You know, I will give him food like that. That's why he is called as Mandata. Something like that. He did not aim his club at Indra with his despondent carrier. Indra's hand flowed with nectar. By its touch, the elephant was relieved of his pains. Okay, so we will continue this discussion tomorrow. And tomorrow, as I mentioned, we will start at 10:30, end at 4:30 with short breaks. And then 4:30, we will wind up for this visit. So thank you all very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Who is coming? You inform him of the timings also.